This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm excited today to be joined by Ryan Kadignani. Ryan is in charge, Vice President of Managed Care and Accountable Care Services, and I'll ask him to give the proper introduction, Ryan, in a second. And we're going to talk a lot today about direct-to-employer contracting. He's at Beaumont Health, which has a major initiative in great growth in direct-to-employer contracting. He'll talk about why and how and all those kinds of things. Ryan, can you help me out on the introduction, and then we'll go from there.
Thanks, Scott. You did a great job, by the way. But I'm Ryan Kadignani. I am the Vice President of Managed Care Contracting and Accountable Care Services for Beaumont Health. We are an 8-hospital system in Southeast Michigan, the state of Michigan's largest health system. I also serve as the Executive Director of Beaumont Care Partners, which is Beaumont's partly owned clinical integration network. We have about 4,000 physicians in our network. We are the state's largest physician organization as well.
Thank you. We're in this evolving world where any kind of provider in healthcare, any kind of service provider or product manufacturer elsewhere is in this world of having to go through these behemoth platforms. In healthcare, it's through payers to get to your patients. In other retail businesses, it might be through Amazon. In media, it might be through the social media. Why is it so important to both be doing that as well as direct-to-employer contracting model? Why has this become increasingly important to the focus?
I believe the short answer is, to use an adage, getting the information right from the horse's mouth. I think the direct conduit and exchange of information between the employer community and its healthcare providers is critical. There's a lot of unintentionally misinformation out there, and there's a lot of, quite frankly, conflicting motives out there when you fold in additional third parties, be it claims administering, TPAs, rental networks, insurers, and oftentimes the needs of the employer groups and the employer community and ultimately, most importantly, its employees and our patients, it gets lost in all of those potentially conflicting motives. And so direct-to-employer contracting, I think at its most foundational, is an opportunity for the employer community to connect directly with the providers that are providing their care and to find a mutual understanding of what matters most to each party.
And you're in a state, and this is the case with almost all states, where it's moved towards 1 to 2 dominant payers, aside from Medicare and Medicaid, which are an increasingly important part of almost all health systems portfolio of patients, but usually in most states, 1 to 2 key payers. How do employers respond to this? And do you have to be a certain size system to be interesting to employers to even bother with this type of effort?
I think it's a good question. And I think you can look at it both from our lens, i.e. the provider's lens, and also the employer group's lens. As with anything, there has to be critical mass. You know, can you move the needle with a particular initiative, especially if you're going to, one, capitalize it and or just spend the any type of, you know, sweat equity or efforts to get the thing stood up as a pilot, or whether it's an integral part of your benefits package moving forward. You got to make sure you're able to get some sort of return on it. To answer your question shortly, I do think that mass matters, though it's not absolutely essential. I think depending on, you know, what you're trying to prove through the direct-to-employer contracting initiative, because, you know, just like with any buzzword or project in our industry, there's a myriad of ways to demonstrate that you have a direct-to-employer contract, you know, hundreds of different ways to, you know, to map it all out and create the math around it. But, you know, if you have an orthopedics problem or emergency room problem or a high-cost pharmaceutical problem, you can create a program, however large or small, in order to demonstrate some sort of proof of concept or demonstrate some return. And even if it's small to begin with through a pilot, it's certainly a demonstration that additional work, additional monies, additional effort may be warranted.
And how does it look to your providers, your physicians, your health system, others? particularly from your integrated system perspective, how does it look when you're doing direct employer contracting versus through a payer, a traditional payer? Is there a difference in how it feels to them?
So to us at Beaumont, it absolutely does. And I think exactly to your question and to my earlier point that there's hundreds of different ways to do this, right? I think that certain constructs, when you're talking about direct to employer, are more meaningful from a delivery reformation standpoint. I think, you know, it's, dare I say, easy for a health system to go to a large employer, influential employer in their geography and say, hey, look, we'll cut you 20-25% reduction off our hospital rates if you you create a benefit design to send more people or to incent your employees to come and seek more services from our system. I mean, that's easy. It's tangible. It's short term. You know, it's easy for actuaries to say, hey, you know, minus 25% of the system gets you a 3% savings on your net spend. You know, let's go forward. Our model is very different. You know, our model is administrator slash insurer agnostic. You know, we truly believe, you know, back to your point about critical mass, at least through the provider's lens, that any employer group really of any size should be able to pursue direct to employer contracting with the system of their choice. And our suite of services at Beaumont is really intended to create customized solutions along a continuum of, call it interoperability or reliance, if you will, on Beaumont Health, to give any group of any size, regardless of whether they're with the Blues of Michigan or they're with some other network, a TPA, self-funded, fully insured, small group, large group, an opportunity to get into the direct-to-employer space. But, you know, the strings, if you will, is it's not always as simple or direct as, you know, we're going to cut them a discount on rates in exchange for volume. I mean, that's not really how our program works. You know, we really look at transforming the traditional way that the delivery model is operated, one. And two, probably most importantly, is we're trying to capitalize on healthcare efficiencies that exist in our marketplace. And also relative to other geographies that may not be Southeast Michigan or the state of Michigan. And I point, for example, to the RAND study recently, you know, where the state of Indiana commissioned the RAND study to look at, you know, basically how expensive is it to purchase health coverage and seek health services in states across the country. And they ranked that, you know, Michigan shows up as the least costliest state in terms of reimbursement. And then Beaumont Health is, you know, one of the least costliest systems in the state of Michigan. And so, you know, we're a good value in Southeast Michigan. We're also a good value, you know, for the versus the state of Indiana, the state of Ohio. And so really, again, our program is meant to, you know, really capitalize on those healthcare efficiencies to bring down overall healthcare spend for an employer group or the entire employer community, you know, while creating customized solutions around that to address specific problems that might be happening in their provision of medical benefits.
And so really, as I understand it, the effort to be direct employer contracting is not necessarily anti-payer at all. It allows you, more specifically, where a payer is dealing with 100 different health systems and hundreds and thousands of different employers and employees, this allows you not to be anti-payer at all, but to better craft solutions with an employer specific to your system and what you could deliver. Ryan, is that a fair assessment?
It couldn't have been stated any better. And we say that all the time. Our solutions are absolutely not anti-payer. It's really meant to do exactly what you said. It's to talk most directly with the employer group, you know, or a broker's book of business, you know, potentially a group of smaller groups that are coming together as a coalition or a combination. And we look at their individual problems and to tailor a program with it. And like I said, you know, we can work with the existing administrator, you know, and quite frankly, if they're looking for a change, you know, we offer, you know, network replacement and insurance replacement options as well.
Fascinating. In terms of your providers, administrators, physicians, all fine. And what's the sense of the future of this? Is the sense that this will be 10% of the business of Beaumont, 5% of the business of Beaumont, 30% over time, or there's no really set goal in terms of what percentage of the market you reach this way?
It's a good question. You know, we've been doing this for about 24 months, though, you know, we're really still in our infancy. You know, at the end of the day, the holistic goal really is care integration, right? The integration of care delivery. And so, you know, if you look at it kind of any way you slice and dice it, you know, Beaumont right now in Southeast Michigan, we hold about a third of the market, 33 to 35% of the market. So, you know, of course, we're eyeing that 65% and saying, hey, Jane, wouldn't it be great if we can take, you know, a piece of the business that isn't coming to us right now? But I think just as, if not more important to us, is and are the patients that are getting a portion or maybe, you know, a large portion of their care within the Beaumont system, but they're going out of Beaumont for other services. And so, you know, we really are interested in trying to figure out, you know, what's causing, you know, a patient to get certain services outside of the Beaumont system when maybe their primary care doc is a Beaumont doc, or the high prevalence of their care is being received in Beaumont. Is there a reason why they're seeking cardiac care somewhere else or cancer services somewhere else? And is there an opportunity for us, again, through direct-to-employer contracting, to create more of a complete health picture within the Beaumont system, which really benefits all parties involved.
Well, fantastic. And so there's not necessarily a set goal, you know, I mean, Medicare, Medicaid has got to be, I don't know your system numbers themselves, but for most systems of your size and where you're situated in a whole bunch of things, it's probably got to be 50% of your payer mix, then the other 50% has got to be commercial. And again, very rough directional numbers. And there's not a set goal on the commercial side that we want to make sure 10 of that 50 is ultimately direct to employer contracting, but as a hedge against other things, as an anti-fragile type concept, as a hedge against any payer not treating the system well, it's important to build this type of engine just in case, as well as everything else. Is that a fair assessment?
It is, and I think there's a couple ways that we do that. So, you know, as you said, your directionally your numbers are consistent with our book and our profile as well in terms of government business versus commercial. You know, we've already entered some of the risk sharing models in the government lines of business, kind of to test our mettle. You know, we're in a downside risk sharing model right now within the Medicare Shared Savings Program through our Accountable Care Organization. You know, we have some risk sharing programs right now on our own 50,000 life employee health plan through our clinical integration network. Our eight individual hospitals are risk bearing entities in the CMS voluntary bundled payment program. And so we've already been doing this for some time, and we've created some learnings and some core capabilities that we feel confident taking into the commercial world. And so, you know, I think then when we look at, you know, our growth, both through partnering and through acquisition, you know, we're currently in the process of merging and creating a partnership with Summa Health in Northeast Ohio. You know, they own a health plan. You know, we'd like to see that health plan obviously come to Michigan and be a primary vehicle for a lot of these, you know, direct-to-employer initiatives that Beaumont as a health system is taking on. And so I think there's a lot of different ways that we can grow that business, both on the government side through potentially taking the learnings from the CMS voluntary bundled payments program and start contracting directly with Medicare Advantage organizations and offering bundled payment programs and services to their Medicare Advantage beneficiaries. Same thing with managed Medicaid HMOs. You know, we're open to that. But then, you know, also in the commercial space, you know, to be honest, you're right. You know, to quantify the growth, you know, we probably look to the simplest measure of anything. It's number of lives covered under the direct to employer contracts. And to do that, you know, we've absolutely been in contact with a lot of the large, if not all of the large employers in Southeast Michigan. You know, but we've also talked to consulting firms, to brokerage houses, and to administrators and insurers to see how we can get kind of take this program and get it out to as many folks as possible.
Thank you very, very much. And let me ask you another question. If you're a system, a health system, a hospital, what does it take to sort of get this started? I mean, everybody's dabbled in it a little bit, but that's very different than really doing something significant in it where it really has the potential to be an engine in the long run or a serious complement to the business. What kind of effort does it take as a system to sort of get this kind of thing going in a serious way?
the key point is your last set of words in a serious way. Like I said, our program is truly designed to be transformational. We are really tackling, you know, the way that healthcare is delivered and the way that it's purchased and paid for. Really, anyone can do the math on what it costs to render services, know their margin and their minimum necessary contractual allowed amount, and go out and say, okay, you know, we're getting our needed margin plus 15%. We can go to an employer group and say, we'll give you a 10 to 12% reduction, you know, to steer services. That's not really our model. And you know, in order to understand our model, we needed to do a lot of homework. You know, so we had to understand where our cost position was, not only, you know, obviously internally, but relative to the rest of the market and ultimately to the rest of the region and the country, to make sure that we weren't 40% higher than everyone else and going out and promising cost savings. I mean, that would have been a really steep hill to climb. So we made sure that the right efficiencies existed within our system relative to our competitors and other systems in the market, in the state, in the region, and the country. And then we also made sure that we were decent at the things that we said that we were going to be able to do. And we have been able to, like I said, test our mettle in available government programs and show employer groups that we know how to spend on a budget. For example, if you look at how the funds flow and the math is set up in the Medicare Shared Savings Program, and that we can also coordinate with our physicians and our post-acute partners in a bundled payment or an episodic payment arrangement like we do currently in the CMS bundled payment program.
Thank you. So just one last question for you. Ryan, this must be a fascinating effort. Give us something you've learned in doing this effort that surprised you. Anything that's interesting or surprised you that you didn't expect? Like, what have you come out of this with so far?
Yeah, so I think the largest surprise, though it's probably not a surprise as it comes out of my mouth, but it really does become a sales pitch, right? I mean, as much as we're very proud of our programs and our solutions, we'd like to think that they're no-brainers and they sell themselves, right? And it's just simply not the case. One, you've got to create a brand, you've got to create a value, you've got to create a prospect pipeline. That all takes time. And then once the message is out in the community and among the employer groups, and they're willing to listen to you, which we've had great response, incredible interest from our employers, both within the state of Michigan and beyond. Then you get into a timing issue, right? I mean, just like anything, just if you were an insurance agent trying to get an AOR or you're an insurer trying to win business, you've got to be sensitive to when these folks' benefit plans renew. You've got to be sensitive to whether there's collective bargaining and what the cycle of that negotiation renewal is. And you've got to ultimately really test the employer group's willingness to change. Otherwise, you're just going to be presenting the same thing over and over again.
And you've got a big brand. You've now been doing it for a few years, and you've got a big market position. But that last point you make about employers wanting to change and look at other things, it's got to be worth their effort to do so, because they're so used to, they get their offer from Blue Cross, United, Cigna, whoever it is. They sort of understand their different benefit designs. And so, they understand it, and it's simple, and there's sort of like what risks there are, and there's big ones, are sort of baked in, and they sort of understand them. So just getting employers to listen and try a different way about it must itself be a significant challenge.
It is. It's nothing bad said about anyone in the employer community, but I mean, this is difficult stuff. I mean, we have trouble understanding it most of the time, and so to take something just like you said that's seemingly very simple. I've got this insurance. I've only got a 5% increase, which isn't great, but it's not worth the trouble to go out and shop. All of my doctors, all the hospitals in the state are in the network, and we don't really want to disrupt that, versus, potentially a program that has huge upside potential in terms of mitigating year over year trend like our programs do, and taking down your per unit spend and per episode spend on major cost centers like orthopedic, spine, cancer, maternity. But being able to explain the program and say, well, it's these certain services, you know, we're gonna put a bundled cost target around it. You know, we track it over the course of a year, you know, and then we kind of reconcile at the end of the year, for example. I mean, it becomes very complicated very quickly. And a lot of times, you know, you just kind of test the stamina of those that are prospecting with you.
Well, no, thank you very much. And part of your job is to make it easier and easier for them to learn how to contract with you so that they, so it doesn't become as big a barrier to entry in doing so. But what a fascinating program. I wish you great luck with that. I think what you're doing is so important to people having options, to employers having options and so forth in the long run, and ultimately to probably reducing costs as well and improving access. So, Ryan, we appreciate you so much joining us today. If people want to learn more about the Beaumont Health System and plan, how can they learn more about what you're doing?
Sure. Our Beaumont Employer Services team, you know, which we did develop about 18 months and put a name around it, you know, to really solidify the effort that we're engaging in directly with the employer community. Folks can go out to our website, BeaumontEmployerServices.org. We also have a LinkedIn profile by the same name. We routinely share content that's, you know, both Beaumont specific and industry specific, that doesn't necessarily have to do with Beaumont, you know, so that we get the news out and share topics that are germane to folks that are really interested in learning how employers can take a more direct interest and hand in the purchase of their health care.
Ryan, again, thank you so much. Just a fascinating subject and different than big health systems developing their own insurance companies, something short of that. And hopefully we'll have, some companies have been successful building their own insurance companies, but not many. And hopefully this will be an easier road to plow and you guys will have great success with it. I know you're making great progress with it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Scott.